Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
We have some news trickling out regarding Division II college athletics. Welcome into a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. As always, happy to be along with you on the afternoon drive. And while the news trickling out regarding D2 hasn't really captured the national media's attention just yet, I think it will relatively soon. The Big Sky Conference, which again has a few squads from the state of Utah, including Weber State and Southern Utah in it, may be moving towards canceling all fall athletics. This was first reported by Brian McLaughlin. He's a national coordinator for Hero Sports and also a college football writer. Always important to make sure you give credit where credit is due in the reporting. His initial tweet said that the Big Sky Conference is out. One source was telling him that more than two-thirds schools voted no to playing in the fall, and he was working on a statement. Now, when I saw that report come out, I tried to get a hold of any sort of source that I have within the FCS realm, and what I'm being told is right now we have president's meeting. Nothing is official just yet, but it looks as if something drastic may in fact come out within the next hour or so. One of the models that is on the table and being discussed is a split season. So you could play some non-conference football in the fall, and then you could play your conference in the spring. And every report that I have seen is a little bit vague, meaning that FCS is leaving spring open as a potential to get a season off and rolling. This is going to be very interesting. The Big Sky Conference, again, coming up, I would believe, within the next hour or so, we should have the announcement on if they're going to play sports in the fall or not. And really, it's a trickle-down effect, right? I believe this impacts everything at the D1 level. I believe this impacts everything at the JUCO level. That's why every one of these stories is so important to the idea of getting college athletics moving forward. That was the big news that came out about an hour ago. If a report breaks during Drive Time Sports, we'll make sure we hop all over it and tell you about it. But the Big Sky, and again, this is affecting Weber State and Southern Utah, weighing the idea of not playing in the fall season, a meeting and a vote taking place as we speak. Outside of that, let's move over to the national sports front. We had some day basketball games, and would you know it, the New Orleans Pelicans were blasted once again. They gave up 140 spot today to the Sacramento Kings. What is it with this Pelican squad? I go back to it. The NBA has done everything to cater to Zion Williamson, but as it sits right now, there's no way the Pelicans are going to get in. There's no way. 29-39, the Kings have now caught them. Both teams trail the Spurs by one game in the loss column. And the way this is looking, we are going to get Memphis and Portland as far as a play-in series or a play-in game goes for the postseason. Boy, the Pelicans have just not played well. And you go back and look at some of their games, they played decent against the Jazz. They had an opportunity to beat Utah. But really, even though they did beat Memphis by 10, I feel like that Jazz game was the best game that they have played. They were embarrassed by the Clippers. And now they've been embarrassed by the Kings. They're 1-3 since the restart. The good news, if you're a Pelicans fan, you get the Wizards tomorrow. And speaking of the Wizards, this is so hilarious to me. So remember the amount of teams that were invited back into the bubble. Well, the Wizards were one of those teams, and they haven't won yet. And now, winning percentage-wise, the Wizards have fallen below the Charlotte Hornets, and the Hornets weren't even invited. So the Hornets have not played four games in the bubble, yet they now have a higher winning percentage than the Washington Wizards, who have yet to win a game of the bubble. Which means the playoffs are set in the Eastern Conference. We may not know if it's Brooklyn or Orlando with a 7-8 squad, but Washington is not getting in. And that speaks volumes, because the Brooklyn Nets have won a game of the bubble. And we have seen some horrible basketball since the restart. And that's what these seedings games are for. Yeah, we had the scrimmage games, but the seeding games are to get the contending teams, teams that have a legitimate chance, back into shape for the postseason. That's why there was 8 games. You essentially had 11 preseason games to gear up for the playoffs. Last night, the Lakers were horrible. And granted, the Lakers have already wrapped up the 1 seed, so I don't know how serious they took that game, and we'll talk more about the Lakers in just a moment. But they were bad. The Milwaukee Bucks have been bad. And the Bucks right now are in a battle with the Heat. They were trailing heavily at halftime, but in the third quarter, Milwaukee has made a little run to try to get even or at least take the lead from Miami. But the Bucks have also not been very good. This is going to take some time, really. I think over the next 4 games, we're going to see which teams have it figured out and which teams don't. And I do believe that team chemistry is going to go an awful long way into winning a championship. You can almost throw the seeding out because there's no home court advantage. And right now, especially in the West, it's such a logjam between 2 all the way to 7 that you wonder how much of an advantage you really have. You got to play matchups, but once you play matchups in the first round, things are going to change drastically in the second round because there's no rhyme or reason to what's happening. This is going to be fascinating once we get to the playoffs. These 7-game playoff series are going to be fascinating. Now, again, I mentioned the Lakers. They were horrible last night as Oklahoma City thrashed them. That does not help the Utah Jazz as far as the standings are concerned. The Lakers will return to the court tonight because they have to play a back-to-back. And they will return tonight without LeBron James. He is out of tonight's game because of a right groin injury. Now, he missed 27 games last season because of a groin injury. This season, he set out a game in December and February for the same reason. You got to remember, this is not young LeBron anymore. He is 35 years old. As far as his minutes, he's averaged about 33 minutes per game for the Lakers in the bubble. And if you go back to the season, he was around 34 minutes. That's the lowest of LeBron's career. So Frank Vogel has tried to limit the minutes, manage LeBron as much as he can. I still think we see a different LeBron once the postseason begins. This is completely precautionary because it does not matter for the Lakers. I will tell you this. This was brought to my attention last night by a listener. If the Lakers go toe-to-toe with the Blazers in the first round, with the backcourt that Portland has and the lack of options the Lakers have in the backcourt, it's a dangerous matchup for this team. Portland is playing good basketball, and they're a wild card. That's going to make things interesting. LeBron better be healthy for that Laker-Blazer series. That's a series I can see going 6 games. Elsewhere, I got a kick out of this today. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it, but if we're talking college sports, Jim Harbaugh seems to be the coach that everybody loves to hate, right? I think people in Ann Arbor love to hate Jim Harbaugh right now. I mean, he's never beat Ohio State. We've seen him cough up games like they did against Michigan State. And I got a kick out of this report. There was a Big Ten conference call, and Ryan Day, Ohio State's coach, reportedly got into it with Harbaugh. Harbaugh interrupted Ryan Day and accused Ohio State of breaking rules because a picture emerged of Ohio State's assistant coach working with linebackers. Now, the NCAA rules, they don't permit on-field instruction until tomorrow. And so Harbaugh wanted to ask Day about it. According to Bucknuts.com and ESPN, this is what Day told Harbaugh. Quote, "How about I worry about my team and you worry about yours?" I wish I could have listened to this. Hear Harbaugh and Ryan Day go at it. And then later in the day, Ryan Day was so upset about this, he told his players that they were going to hang 100 on Michigan this year, and that's been confirmed by multiple outlets. I love this. Gosh, we have to have a college football season. One way or another, we have to have a college football season. We will talk more college football a little bit later on in the show because the preseason top 10 coaches poll has been released. Top 25 coaches poll has been released. We're going to go over that a little bit later on in the show. Yes, the Utah Utes are in the top 25. And we have some news coming out for BYU as well. We'll get into that a little bit later. The Cougars now have an opponent for opening weekend. Thank goodness. Maybe I've come across as a BYU homer over the last couple of days, praising this program and hoping that they get something figured out. I am by no means a BYU homer, but this is a football program that deserves to play with the amount that the school puts into that program. They deserve a chance to play. They have an opening day opponent. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show. Also coming up, a local sports recap, and we're going to be joined by Coach Scott Madsen of the USU Eastern Eagles, athletic director now. We'll talk about everything happening at the BDAC, some of the changes, plus we'll get an update on what's happening on the local sports front. I know no fall sports for USU Eastern, so what's ahead for the spring season? That's coming up next when we return. It's a Thursday edition of Drive Time Sports, and we are live from the Auto Farm Studios.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Eagles.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. Talk junior college athletics. And no fall sports for the junior college scene. And I wonder how long we're going to actually have fall sports as far as the NCAA is concerned. That's a completely different topic. We're not going to touch on that, at least not at the moment. Instead, we're going to focus on what's happening at USU Eastern. And that includes the BDAC, which is open as far as the weight room is concerned for the public. Joining us right now over the phone to talk about that and more, we have Athletic Director Scott Madsen. And Coach, as always, a pleasure. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me. I enjoyed being on the show.
Yeah, I always enjoy talking with you, Coach. And I know it's a little bit different right now around campus. Here we are, the first week of August. We don't have athletes reporting. You and I had the conversation off of the cuff that, that's not going to happen until the first day of instruction. That's when the athletes need to be on campus. So August 31st, just a different feel around campus right now.
It is. I mean, nobody's there. And like I was telling you off the recording here that, you know, we have the cheer camp. It's been exciting to have some people on campus. We've opened up to get a few people lifting, but, I mean, it's just a ghost town over at the BDAC right now.
Now, with that being said, Coach, I know you guys have opened somewhat to the community, and this is old news, but still never a bad idea to get a refresher. You guys aren't open 100%. I mean, there are still some restrictions that you have, but nonetheless, the weight room is open to the community.
It is. You know, we open from 4:30 a.m. till 10 a.m. and then at 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. So we had to come up with times where we could go in and do a deep clean at the end, and we figured right now with no students on that's the best time to close in the middle of the day. We were unable to open the racquetball courts. They said we had a hard time social distancing in those racquetball courts, which is true. And then the cycles haven't been, the spin bikes haven't been opened yet, and our locker rooms are still closed. But the opportunity to come in and lift, I mean, you're getting that. You're having to do it alone. There's no spotting each other's lifting. But you know what? Just to get the chance to get in there and work out is a big move for us over since this pandemic's hit.
No question, Coach. And how has the community embraced that? I mean, do you have large numbers using the weight room right now?
We do. We've had great numbers over the past two or three years. People have really flocked in. It's helped us. We've been able to get new weights, new equipment, that type of stuff. And you know what? We've had a good group of people coming in. I mean, you have your people that will lift it every morning, and we love them. I mean, they come in and they help us maintain that, and they understand that we have to follow protocol in order to keep open, and they're really willing to do that just to make sure we're staying open. I mean, they may not agree with what we're doing, but they realize that in order for them to lift, this has to be done. And you know what? We don't want to do it as much as they don't want to do it. So it's just one of those things that it's something we have to do to stay open, and it's been amazing the support we're getting from the community.
Yeah, Coach, I know that there's been some other changes at the BDAC this summer, and so while things have been quiet on the sports front, they haven't been quiet at the BDAC. I mean, you and I have talked in the past about some of the changes that's happening to the actual gym. You talked about the weight room and some of the things that have been added there. The BDAC is going to look a little bit different when we're finally back open 100%.
It is. We have a new set of bleachers in the gym where there's 500 and, I believe, 10 actual seats in our bleachers that are single seats. So the comfort in there is a whole lot better. I mean, this is something that we've really pushed hard for, and we had kind of a lucky break and were able to pull at least half our gym with seats, and it looks amazing. I mean, the gym looks bigger. I've sat in them, and I've had other people sit in them. They said, you know, I can sit and watch a full day of basketball in these, or volleyball. So, and, you know, we have had other changes. Our longtime front desk worker, Ruth Whiteside, retired. We've been able to upgrade a few different things. We got some new dumbbells that have arrived, and we're getting ready to put in there. So we're slowly getting things to where they need to be.
Well, Coach, we'll talk about the athletic season, which about two and a half weeks ago, we talked to campus president Greg Dart about it and what it means for USU Eastern. I mean, there's so many changes going on. And with you still being semi-new to the athletic director spot, boy, what an opportunity to learn, to say the least, huh?
They say you get thrown in the fire. This seems like a bonfire of sorts. Been going for a while. We got the word, two weeks ago, that we've moved everything to spring. We're finally getting the championship series, the national tournament date set, so we're able to set the dates for our spring season. Our volleyball, basketball, baseball, and softball all start January 22nd, and we'll run through, basketball and volleyball run through April 3rd, and baseball and softball run through the end of May. Their season's normal. We have a shortened basketball and volleyball season. The basketball can play 22 games. We're playing a 15-game region conference schedule, and then the volleyball will play a 10-game region conference schedule and be allowed to play 21 games. So, and then soccer's moved to, I believe they start March 25th is when they can start, and they run clear till the end of May. So it's a big change all the way around. In the fall, they are able to have scrimmages, which is new to them. I mean, we could have five scrimmage dates where we could bring in two different teams to play us during that day. So our coaches are working hard to set those up right now. So there will be games in the fall. Now, I don't know if we'll be able to have fans there, but we're working on that right now. We're hoping to have support. So we've implemented something with our streaming of the games where it's a pay-per-view thing, which is really good for everybody. They're able to watch all the games and support us at the same time. So, you know, we're putting some things in, and as this, it's just so fluid with how this is working that there's changes. I mean, we thought we had this date set back in May, and now all of a sudden here in July, the end of July, we've had to change it three times since then. So, I mean, we're getting there, and we're just excited to be able to bring kids in on August 31st and get them practicing, get them hopefully some scrimmages going, and then, you know what, have a good season. Our coaches are extremely excited with their recruits and who they have coming in, and I'm looking forward to a good year for this athletic department.
Again, Athletic Director Scott Mattson of USU Eastern joining us right now as we talk about some of the changes and what we can expect. Coach, you mentioned a 15-game league schedule for basketball. Basketball was most interesting to me because we've seen so many changes to the formats over the last like 20, 25 years. So when you say 15-game schedule, can we expect back-to-backs this year? Is that something we'll see on the basketball court?
You know, that's not. That's something that I was pushing quite heavily, actually, that we were going to play. I wanted us to play pretty much an all-region schedule of 20 games and then play those back-to-back games. But, I mean, the coaches were adamant about getting that day in between. And so now, as of last week, basketball plays on Thursday and Saturday, and volleyball plays on Wednesday and Friday. We are still that there's fluid nature with that, where we're still moving. We're still trying to find the best setup for both sports, but they voted on keeping those different teams on different weeks, and I mean it does help certain athletic departments, but I think in this it would be good to play back to back, but we're just not able to do it right now.
There's so many other nuances, Coach, especially for you being an athletic director. What's been the most challenging aspect for you once the NJCAA made this announcement of the changes and pushing fall back to spring? What's been your biggest challenge?
You know, just the communication with all the coaches, that's been probably the hardest, just because nobody's in the office. We're trying to get answers real quick while we're on these conference calls to, you know, get the opinions of these coaches. And we're talking about every sport in the short hour we talk weekly as athletic directors. And that's been the hardest part is, you know, you get some type of schedule set, and then you say, okay, let's take it to the coaches. We're a week before we get together again and talk about that schedule. So, I mean, it's just been super slow going. But, I mean, my coaches are awesome. They give me their opinion. I'm fighting hard for what they feel is best. And that's, you know, that's something we've kind of took pride in our athletic department is working hard for each other and building off each other. But that's the hardest thing with this whole pandemic, is just trying to stay in solid communication with all your coaches and making sure they're up to speed on everything that's going on.
Coach, the other thing, and I hate to be negative, and so I don't want to come across as negative, but this has been one of those topics where you just don't know. I mean, it's so fluid. What is in place today might not be in place tomorrow. So while we have an idea that maybe things will pick back up, or at least things are planned to pick back up in December, has there been any conversation as to what could prevent that from happening and what would be the next step?
You know, I mean, to me personally, we're all watching the major leagues, the professional athletics running right now, and seeing what they're going through. And I think that'll tell us a lot as to what could happen next. I mean, this kid coming back to school would tell us a lot, if you ask me. I mean, if there's a great spread, I could see them shutting things down. And I mean, we have to go along with how the school goes. So, I mean, if they don't want us on campus, then there's no chance we're going to have sports. So right now, I mean, there's just so many different ways that this could be affected, but I could just see people not taking it seriously, and that would be a big shutdown. I mean, you're seeing it in the major leagues where they are going out. They're going out after their day's work and celebrating whatever they're doing, and that's where they're contracting this disease and bringing it back to the other people, and that's what I'm more worried about. I mean, you get college kids, they're traveling everywhere, and that's the hard part is our conference is spread out over 5 states. So we're going to constantly be jumping borders and doing all sorts of different things that way. And that, to me, that's going to be a good sign for us on how the first couple of weeks and when we open up, how long that will go. And I'm hoping in this fall, and maybe that's what they were talking about, is that's why they moved it to spring. But I'm hoping we'll get some testing with that as we play that fall scrimmage schedule, and see if we can learn to control everything that way.
We can end with this, Coach. The logistics of having so many sports going on at one particular time, that's something that I'm sure was not easy to deal with either. But is everything good on that end? I mean, do we have everything worked out to where logistically we can travel every one of these sports around the same time?
Yes, you know, and that's the first thing I said. President Dart and I spoke last week, or right after we heard that, and just kind of said, well, let's try and figure out these buses and how we're going to get people here and there. And I sat down and ran through the schedule, and you know what? We figured it out. We got everybody going every which way. Luckily, we never landed on the same day with anything. So, I mean, and we'll have soccer and baseball, or soccer and softball on the same weekend, but that's doable because they play at different times. And I have such good workers and a good staff with me that, you know what, I can have any one of them jump out there, and they know how to run the games and do everything that way. So that part I'm not really worried about, but I mean, you are playing a lot of games. I'm just worried that my staff won't get a day off from January till early June. So should be interesting for us.
Well, no doubt. Again, that's Athletic Director Scott Madsen of USU Eastern. Coach, it is always a pleasure to get you on. I appreciate the time and the updates. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jordan. I appreciate your support.
We're going to break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up. When we return, we're going to talk national, including the NBA and Major League Baseball. That's all on tap here on this Thursday edition of Drive Time Sports.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 with Jordan Buscarini.
We have a preseason top 25 college football poll that was released today. Coaches poll. It's out. It's always interesting, even though it is the least important out of all of the polls. You have the college football playoff committee poll, and then you have the AP poll. Those are the two important ones to go off of. But I always think the coaches poll is interesting. And regardless as to what it's supposed to mean, college football playoff committee sees this. They see the way other coaches view opponents. It does play a factor. And we had Phil Still, college football guru, on the show earlier this week. And he said his top four were basically chalk. Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama, Oklahoma. Those were his top four teams. Coaches poll doesn't see it that way, but it's a preseason poll. And, well, the SEC got a lot of love today. So Clemson comes in at number one. No surprise there. Ohio State at number two. Alabama at three. Four is always where it gets interesting. Kirby Smart in Georgia coming at number four in the coaches' poll. LSU five. And then six through ten goes Oklahoma, Penn State, Florida, Oregon, and Notre Dame. 11 through 15, Auburn, Wisconsin, Texas A&M, Texas, and Michigan. 16 through 20, Oklahoma State, USC, Minnesota, North Carolina, Utah. 21 through 25, UCF, Cincinnati, Iowa, Vautech, and Iowa State. Six conferences are represented in the top 25 because, remember, Notre Dame no longer an independent, at least for this year. So we have six conferences represented. The ACC has four ranked opponents, counting Notre Dame. So Clemson, Notre Dame, North Carolina, and Vautech. And I'll tell you, I think North Carolina is a little underrated. It's a top 15 team. Big 12 has four teams. Oklahoma, who is outside of the top five, that's a tad bit shocking. They lead the way. Texas being in the top 15, no surprise. I don't buy Texas as a top 15 team, but they're at number 14. Oklahoma State comes in at 16, and then Iowa State at 25. Big Ten has six. Now, the Big Ten, which has been well represented in the top 25, but hasn't necessarily played a huge factor in the Final Four. I mean, Ohio State, of course. But when you look at the likes of Penn State and Michigan, Wisconsin, I mean, they haven't really played a huge role in the College Football Playoff Selection Committee standings as we get deep into the season. But the Big Ten has some good football. So we'll get Ohio State at number two. We got Wisconsin at 12, Michigan at 15, which seems a little high for Michigan. Minnesota at 18. Iowa comes in at 23. And then I miss Penn State. Penn State comes in at 7. So a good showing from the Big Ten. SEC with six teams. No surprise, logjam of SEC opponents in the top five. Alabama, Georgia, LSU, 3, 4, 5. Pac-12 has three teams. Oregon at number 9. It's a good football team. We got to see exactly what Oregon has coming back, minus Justin Herbert in the Pac-12 championship game, moving into the playoffs. It's a good football team. Got a big hole to fill, though, with Justin Herbert, who was a top 10 pick in the NFL draft. USC, to me, I think this is probably Clay Helton's best USC team that he has had. I typically don't have a lot of good things to say about the Trojans on this show, but if Clay Helton is going to be successful, this is the team that he's going to have success with. I think this is a good USC team. They got a lot of talent. And then Utah comes in at 20. And that may be a little generous for the Utes, considering the roster turnover. I mean, this team, they have a lot of key players to replace. Won the Pac-12 South the last couple of years. And I know that Kyle Whittingham has done a tremendous job in Salt Lake. But this is going to be a task for this team to repeat as a Pac-12 South champion. And here's the problem with the Pac-12. Only three teams are in the top 25 representing this conference. And so, with no Stanford and with no Washington, and you look at the traditional powers from the Pac-12 that are in the top 25, especially in the North, when they're not there, knowing that the Pac-12 South has been traditionally weak over the last 6 or 7 years, Utah's going to have to win the Pac-12 South if they want to be ranked inside the top 20 at the end of the season. And then the AAC gets two teams, Central Florida and Cincinnati. So that's a look at the coaches' poll top 25. I love these preseason polls. Absolutely love them. Look forward to them every summer when they come out. Still don't know if we're going to get a college football season, but that doesn't mean that for the moment we can't talk about the top 25 polls that are being released for the preseason. Now, at the beginning of the show, I mentioned BYU. Some good news for BYU. We've talked a lot about the Cougars this week on the show. Just don't know what to expect if there was even going to be a football season for the Cougars. Well, now they have an opener. BYU will open up the season against Navy. Navy has a few spots on their schedule that have opened up. For the first time in 93 years, Navy will not be playing Notre Dame. That's sad, right? I mean, traditionally, it's a lopsided rivalry, but 93 consecutive years those two squads have played, they will not meet this season. BYU will step in. They're going to open up the season against Navy on Monday, September 7th. The school's made this announcement this morning. This game is going to be played in Maryland, and it will broadcast on ESPN. It's set for a 6 p.m. kickoff time. And if you are wondering, this game is a part of a two-game contracted series with the Naval Academy, but Navy's trip to Lavelle Edwards Stadium has not yet been finalized. And there's some historical significance in this matchup as well, just between the two coaches. A rare matchup between two Polynesian head coaches in FBS football. Satake was the first Tongan-born head coach in FBS history when BYU hired him back in 2015. And then Ken Niumatalolo, the head coach for Navy, he was born in Hawaii. He was the first Samoan head coach at any level when he was put in charge in 2017. So there's some historical significance in that game just based off of the head coaches. But the other good news for BYU comes in the reassurance that if we do get a college football season, there will be some familiar opponents on BYU's schedule, because that was the biggest question mark. Who is BYU going to play? Okay, so as of this morning, San Diego State Athletic Director John Wicker told a SoCal radio station that they will keep BYU as one of their Mountain West allowed two non-conference games. Great news for the Cougars. Second game is yet to be determined for San Diego State. Utah State also made the announcement this morning that BYU is tentatively scheduled for October 2nd. It's the wagon wheel in-state rivalry. That dates back to 1922. And so the Aggies are going to open up training camp on August 24th. They'll play no earlier than September 26th. BYU opened up training camp this past Tuesday, which again is part of the reason why I was just praising this school. I was praising these athletes earlier this week. They don't even know if they were going to get a season, yet BYU football players open up camp on Tuesday, and you heard nothing about it. There was no controversy surrounding it. The players weren't trying to unionize. They went out and played as student athletes, not even knowing if they were going to get a season. So for the news to come out today that BYU has an opener now against Navy, San Diego State, Utah State still on the schedule, it's good news. It's good news for BYU because no conference wants them. Nobody wants them. And for whatever reason that may be, like I said, I'm a little saddened by it because that's a football program that the school's put a lot into. And so BYU-Navy, September 7th, I'm looking forward to it. That's a quick look at what's happening in college football as well. Again, the coach's top 25 preseason poll has been released. Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia. BYU has their season opener. Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports when we return.
With the sixth pick in the 2014 NBA Draft, the Boston Celtics select Marcus Smart from Oklahoma State University.
This is Marcus Smart from the Boston Celtics, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Marcus Smart, what a spin move and a finish. Hard to handle Marcus Smart, whether he's outside or inside the paint.
A lot of sports going on throughout the day. Of course, we have basketball and baseball. Watched a little bit of a game this morning between the Pirates and the Twins. Somehow the Pirates got a win. This was one of the most poorly played baseball games that I've seen in quite some time. Minnesota's a good baseball team. They're 10-3. We talked briefly about the Twins yesterday. The Pirates are 3-10. And really, when you look at an offensive lineup that's rolling out Colin Moran and JT Riddle and Gerard Dyson, this is not a very good team. Although the Pirates found a way to play six runs today. Gregory Polanco hit a home run on that one. The Pirates earned their third victory of the season. The Oakland A's, they moved to 9-4 on the season as they top Texas 6-4. And then the Angels, they've won a couple of games in a row now. They're 5-8. They top the Mariners 6-1. That's some of the day baseball that we had earlier today. Right now, a few games going on as well. The Colorado Rockies, they're playing very good baseball. The Rockies were trailing in this game to the Giants, 3-1, and then Colorado erupted in the seventh inning, and they threatened again in the eighth. They lead 6-4 right now over the Giants. The Rockies 8-3 in first place in the National League West. Basically a game up on the Dodgers. Dodgers have played one more game than Colorado. And the Rockies have had a very heavy home schedule, but they have found a way to take care of business against the likes of the Giants and the Padres. And because of that, Colorado right now at the top of the NL West at 8-3. The Yankees and the Phillies are going at it. We've had a small sample size of Philadelphia. Just six games up to this point. Philly at 2-4 on the season. They took it to the Yankees yesterday. They're beating the Yankees again right now in the second inning, 3-0. JT Realmuto going yard for Philly in this one. And then we have the Reds and the Indians right now. The Reds, a disappointment to get things rolling, although they seem to be finding their footing right now. Reds-Indians interleague matchup. Cleveland up in this one, 1-0 right now in the second inning. And I think just looking at the Reds, the biggest disappointment for me, it hasn't necessarily been their pitching. It's been the way they have hit, or I guess not hit, the baseball. That's been the biggest disappointment. Eunio Suarez is hitting .098. I mean, this is one of the elite third base hitters in the game, and he has just completely struggled so far. Joey Votto, who's getting up there in age, and I don't expect Votto to be a 300 hitter, but he's still hitting .243. I mean, Jesse Winker has not been good offensively. Nick Senzel has been okay. He's hovering around the .280 mark. But Cincinnati has been a disappointment, I know, for a lot of people to start this baseball season. Well, we do have plenty of NBA basketball coming up tonight. I talked about Milwaukee and the way they were struggling. Well, the Bucks found a way to kick it into high gear. They come back to rout the Miami Heat. I mean, Miami was just rolling. They were up by 18 at halftime, 17 at halftime. And then Milwaukee outscored them by 11 in the third quarter. And then defensively, Milwaukee was brilliant in this fourth quarter as they pick up a double-digit win over the Heat. That's your number one seed in the Eastern Conference, Milwaukee. That's a potential Eastern Conference championship matchup with the Heat. And Milwaukee gets the best of Miami to pick up a win in the bubble. Final from earlier today, again, the Kings topping the Pelicans 140-125. And then we have the Phoenix Suns topping the Indiana Pacers 114-99. DeAndre Ayton has been quietly good for this Phoenix Sun team. And Phoenix, I don't believe Phoenix is going to catch Portland. I don't believe they're going to catch Memphis. It's going to be tough for the Suns to get into the play-in game. But with Devin Booker and a big like DeAndre Ayton, who today scored 23 points, had 10 rebounds, that Suns team is quickly becoming very fun to watch. Devin Booker is the real deal. I mean, that kid can flat out play the game of basketball. Couple of finals from earlier today. Night games for the NBA. Well, right now, the Clippers and the Mavericks just tipping off in the bubble. We get Portland and Denver tonight at 6 p.m. That's an important game. It's an important game for multiple reasons. If you're into the seeding purposes in the Western Conference, Denver right now, two games up on the Jazz. A win here for the Nuggets, and Utah stuck in that 4-5-6, maybe even the 7 matchup. They're not climbing into the top three. Portland, on the flip side, trying to run down Memphis to assure themselves at least to share that play-in game. And I'll say it again, this Blazer team has the capability of causing fits in the Western Conference, just based off what they have out of the backcourt. And Carmelo Anthony has looked pretty good at the bubble. So I think this is an excellent matchup. In fact, I would prefer this matchup to be on national TV, aside from the one that we get tonight, between the Lakers and the Rockets. That game is on TNT. No LeBron James. Anthony Davis is questionable. The Lakers have locked up the one spot. I would like to see the Lakers and Rockets. I would like to see a full squad matchup between these two teams, just as kind of a gauge. But we're not going to get it. So that means that Portland and Denver, much better matchup to watch tonight. 6 p.m. start time for that contest. As far as Houston is concerned, again, it does matter for the Jazz in the form of seeding. The Jazz have one more win than Houston, but they are tied in the loss column. And with no LeBron James tonight, it doesn't seem like the Lakers are going to give the Jazz much help. Just another reason for Jazz fans to be upset with the Lakers. That's what we have happening tonight. A lot of baseball still to be played, a lot of basketball still to come. We're going to recap tonight's basketball action on the show tomorrow. We'll be joined by Jabari Davis. He's a co-host of a very successful podcast on iTunes. It's called Dunks and Discourse. And so we'll talk to Jabari Davis tomorrow. We'll look into the NBA the weekend as we are approaching the playoffs. They are right around the corner. We've just been breezing through these 8 seeding games. Also, we'll talk some local sports tomorrow because the black and gold game for Emory football, that's taking place tomorrow at Emory High School. And also the blue and white game for Carbon High School. And so it's go time for local sports. I know plenty going on right now, including soccer here in the local area. And so we have a lot of local sports to get into on the show tomorrow. I want to thank Coach Scott Madsen for taking out the time to join us. We'll be back to do it again tomorrow. Until then, be safe. I am out.